The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 25th day of July. Oh boy, it's going quick. 2023. And tonight we have he'll be with us for a while, and on the board, that's Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor. Good evening.
Good evening, and we have, well, that man of renown, that the man of old, if you will, none other than the parson, Pastor Larson.
I like that man of old. We're getting bad with the age jokes here. I'm the only one who'll put up with you as what the truth is.
Well, I didn't say old man. I just said man of old, okay, you know.
Oh, man of old, okay. There's a big difference in terminology, right?
Yeah, well.
Well, okay. So general semantics, S.I. Hayakawa. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to try to rephrase that. Okay, I would. What if I did something like someone who's much, much younger than Moses?
That would work.
All right.
You're right. I'm probably a little younger than Moses.
All right. Let's get into the message tonight. We got to pick it up where we left off. And do you remember what the title was?
Sure. Artificial intelligence versus absolute ultimate intelligence. AI versus God, really.
As we go through here, we're going to take a look at how they match up. And so here, as we start off, we look at who has programmed. Who programmed AI? Who programs these computers and so on? But in verse 9 of Romans chapter 3, let's take it verse at a time. So just go ahead and read verse 9.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin.
So here, this is a very important passage here. We could... What it does, Joe, it kind of makes it pretty clear that everyone, there's no one who is righteous enough before holy God to earn his own salvation.
Right. He's really just saying, are we Jews any less deserving of God's judgment than the Gentiles?
Right. Right,
there's
absolutely.
A couple things in that one line.
So apart from Christ, okay, he's referring to, in our unsaved condition, we're in trouble. He said, it is written, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That is repeated all through Scripture in Psalm 14, 1 through 3.
It was in Psalm 5, too, right?
And 53, uh-huh. Psalm 53, 1 through 3.
Oh, 53, yeah.
Ecclesiastes 7, 20. And so and then he says there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And, you know, and this is when we talked about that. How many times have you heard people say, well, it was then when I found Jesus? And nobody has ever found the Lord, okay? The Lord was never lost. And that's the point. Men were lost, not God. God was never lost.
But I think that's a phrase when people are saying, no, I finally found myself. You know, I was you know, it's kind of a human phraseology, but you're right. If you look at the exact meaning, it's saying God was lost. But I think it's our way of saying things sometimes.
Well,
very inaccurate, though.
You see, we never on our own volition, did we ever see God. It was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, getting our attention and turning us toward Him. It wasn't something we would do that we did, again, of our own volition. It wasn't. And so here, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit turned us towards God so we can hear His words. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is no one that doeth good, no, not one. So apart from God, let me ask you this. All of your works, apart from God, let's just say that you fed every widow in the neighborhood, and you went down to the quarter, and you helped all the kids cross the street for to get on their bus and so on. You did all nice things for your neighbors. You went and cut your neighbor's grass, and you baked them pies and all that. If you, and all of that, what would that add up to an unsaved person?
In God's eyes, it adds up to nothing.
Absolutely nothing, huh?
And that's what a lot of people have trouble with. They think that wouldn't be fair. Well, I was this good person. I did these good deeds. I should get credit for them. And they cannot understand why that God wouldn't give them credit for good deeds.
And so it's apart from Him. And so he goes on to say, because you see, we're either under the spirit of the law or the letter of the law.
Letter of the law. And if we're not under the spirit, we fail miserably. I mean, just absolutely miserably under the letter of the law.
I remember one time I was there to address the senior class of a Christian academy, and we were preaching on that. And we took questions and answers when I was finished, and a young girl and a young boy both stood up, and they said, there is no longer any law, we are under grace, and there is no longer a law. And I said, really? They said, yeah. And so I said, well, then, how are those that are not saved? If they're not under grace, then how are they judged? And they just looked at each other because, see, what they were simply doing was parroting things that they heard somebody else say.
Right.
And they just looked at each other like, well, now what do we do, right? Mm-hmm. And but all of those that are, if you're not under grace, then you're judged by the letter of the law, aren't you?
Exactly.
And if you're judged by the letter of the law, the letter of the law can only find you one way, right?
Guilty, right. Because, well, in the first place, one, because there are all these things that God has asked you to do. You may not, even if you never committed a sin, you sinned because you have not done the things that God has asked you to do, told you to do. And those are sins of omission, and he rates that right up there almost worse than a sin of commission.
So let's run. I want to jump ahead to verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
I'm sorry, I just thought you described the Democratic Party.
I just did. That was exactly what I just described, the Democratic Party. And not just that, but the mainstream media. What is called the left, we've just right. Here, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it is said unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may have become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What did Paul say? If it had not been for the law, he would have not known of sin. Okay? So here
exactly.
Now,
the law convicts us.
So now those people that are, those that are saved, we are under the AUI, the absolute. What is the power?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch. We're under the what?
The absolute ultimate intelligence. Absolute, in other words.
God. We're under the doctrine of Christ.
Right. But God is the absolute ultimate intelligence. And now, those that are unsaved, they're under the artificial intelligence. Today you've got, just this past week, we've had all of the big tech companies, Twitter, YouTube, I can't think of all of the big, they come together, Joe, and to agree upon setting precautionary security devices that would protect against AI going rogue and turning on them. Now, Joe, how much trust do you have? Because these same people that are saying that they have to take these securities are the same people that are behind the world depopulation. And, you know, it's like, well, it's like Joe Biden saying he was an honest man.
Yeah, it's kind of like hiring the fox to guard the hen house, right?
Right. It's like Planned Parenthood, okay? What's in a name? They, believe me, they've got nothing to do with Parenthood, do they?
No.
Okay. No. And what about the ACLU? What do they have to do with our liberties?
A long time ago, they gave up that. They're about as woke and anti-Christ and anti-establishment as can be.
So now here, we take a look at this. What kind of people? The so-called progressive programmers who program these computers. Who is their God? Who do you think is Bill Gates' God?
Probably money.
Okay. Well,
money, power. They're both usually kind
death.
Of
his right. His God is death. What is he concentrating on? Depopulating the planet. Remember, his father had ran for a while Planned Predators, Planned Parenthood.
Right, has been one of the heads. Yep.
And so here. You have this global depopulation cabal out there, and these are the people that are programming this artificial intelligence. They're the one. Now, it's an interesting thing. The question is, Joe, is there a sinister supernatural force behind AI with ages-old goal in mind? We've seen what was happening there with the CERN there in Switzerland. Is there something very sinister? You bet. It's very, very sinister. Absolute sinister. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14, Joe.
All right. Well, I know one thing. I know who's behind every bad thing on earth. And, oh, yes, right there, Isaiah 14, verse 12, kind of says who he is.
Okay, so. And I get there in a minute. All right, Isaiah 14, starting with verse 12. Go ahead, let's do it verse at a time.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?
Now, Lucifer means the shining one, or the light bearer, okay? What does some of the New Age versions call him? The morning star, the bright...
The son of the morning.
Yeah.
Or morning star.
Right. Now, what's the problem with that? Because the morning star is a name for the
right.
Lord Jesus himself, the bright...
Right. Mm-hmm.
The bright and shining
right.
morning star. Yeah.
But that's, you know, whenever you give that, that's what Satan does. He's going to, the Antichrist will come and look like he is the, you know, God himself, right?
Well, the New Age versions have made the Lord into Satan, yeah. He goes here, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. What is he talking about? He will ascend into heaven. Where's he at now?
He could have been cast down to the earth.
So, but he had access to, there's three heavens the Bible speaks of. He has access to two of them, don't he?
To two of them, yes.
But not to the third heaven, because he would defile it, huh?
Yes.
Oh, so people think that they say, well, wait a minute, didn't he, in the book of Job, when the angels came before the Lord, didn't he come with them? Well, Job, do we ever go before the Lord, you and I? When two or more are gathered together, who's in the midst?
Together, he will come and be with us, yes.
Okay, and so
we don't go to him, he comes to us.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, today, with the technology where you have your videoed meetings, you have all of these video meetings now. Does God have better technology than that?
Well, God and his angels can appear anywhere in the entire universe that God wills or wants. They're able to travel freely, so God can have a meeting anywhere he wants to.
So no matter where they are, they can be brought before him.
Right.
And so here now, when we take a look at this, it says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Well, didn't Satan have a throne? I mean, he had a throne. His throne was where? It was in the throne room of God.
God, right.
Okay.
In the very throne room itself. He was the number one angel.
I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. That's referring to the third heaven, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now he says this, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Well, let me go back when he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars?
The stars would be the angels.
Absolutely. So he's going to exalt his throne above all of the angels, right, of God. Now, now in verse 11, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Who are the clouds? The clouds are all the saints.
Oh, okay, the saints, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the interesting thing. That word heights in the Hebrew here, do you know what that word is?
Ubama.
It's U-G-B-A-M-A. U-G, it's spelled U-G, but it's pronounced Obama. You're right.
Obama, yeah, but it's spelled U-G. That's why I call it Ugbama.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is, that means the elevated one. That word in the Hebrew means the elevated one. Now, here, whenever you have the, in other words, like, okay, you and I, we're the sons of God, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
But we're not the Son of God, are we?
No.
Now, we are apostles, aren't we?
When you were saying in Job, the original, those were the angels. Now there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves. Those were all the angels in heaven. The angelic beings came to present themselves to God.
Mm-hmm. But he tells you, too, in John chapter 1, that's referred to is the sons, those of that are saved to become the sons and daughters of God. And so whenever it's, well, what I'm getting to is this. Like, for example, we're apostles, and we're actually prophets, but we are not the apostles, because there were only 12 of the apostles. Now, in this case here, the primary definition for that word heights there is the elevated one, meaning that's God. It's God. But now Satan says here, that he is going to be above the elevated one. Okay? And so he's referring to himself now. So What is the primary or the secondary definition? The secondary definition is a elevated one, an elevated one.
Oh, I thought the secondary was high place.
Okay, no, no. If you take off the UG, and you
Obama
take off the UG,
is high place, yeah.
But and you just have Obama. Okay, we'll get there. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, and so he's. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of his prisoners? And all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, and go down to the stones of the pit, and a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people, and the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now, he's telling Satan that kings, even the wicked kings, they have a place where they lie in their glory, where people will come and visit their graves, even Stalin and Mussolini and that. But with you, Satan, no, it's going to be like somebody that died and just sat there rotted, and you have no grave, and you're forgotten, and nobody knows who you are.
A dead carcass as you're walking through a field, and there's a dead carcass, you just kind of step over and go on.
Yeah. But now, here, you had made a point about the high place. If you go to Ezekiel 20 and read verse 29, Joe. Well, actually, if you go to Ezekiel 20 and read, let me see here. Starting verse 29 through 32.
Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations?
Read all the way through verse 32.
Okay. For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone.
All right, going back to verse 1. Then I said unto them, what is the name of this whereunto you go? And the name, therefore, is called Bama unto this day. Now, the word Bama means the high place, which actually, the high place is what? Heaven. But now here, what have they done? They have taken this town. This is an actual town, Joe, here. And they've called this town Bama, meaning an high place, where they offered up their children, where they sacrificed their children. It's a horrible, horrible thing, what they've done. It's like what they're doing in America in the bloody abortion mills. And so here now, I find that it's another interesting thing. Remember, over there in Isaiah, when you had Obama, it means the elevated one, and now here, Bama means the elevated place where they offered up children here in Ezekiel. But the primary definition is the high place, which is heaven. But if you'll go over to Luke chapter 10, Joe, turn to Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, read verses 17 and 18.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Now, it's an interesting thing, Joe. Now, listen. I beheld Satan, as lightning. That word, Joe, that word lightning there in the Greek or Aramaic is Barak.
Barak.
Okay, now listen. I beheld Satan as Barak fall from, what's the last word? Heaven. What's the Hebrew?
Heaven.
Bama. Barak, Obama, in one verse.
Right. Exactly.
And said, is that, you think that's coincidental?
I don't think it's a coincidence, no. I think it was put there specifically.
The Bible is showing us something for those that can discern. Okay, we'll be back after this.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue 1 by August 8th.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Don't know the well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
All right, Joe, you know, when it talks about blinded by the lies, we are up against a battle right now with coming up on August 8th. The opposition, those that are telling you to vote no on issue one, these people, they are the very same people, folks. They're the dark money. This money is coming from outside of Ohio. Planned predators, the most evil, wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling purveyors of death, have murdered more children, killed more people than any army in the world. Evil continuously, complete and total evil, perfectly evil Planned Parenthood is. And folks, these are the people, George Soros, with his dark money, pouring in here to Ohio. And here, you talk about blinded by the lies, what they're, the way the commercials they're running on television are just filled with lies, absolute, and nothing but total lies. And anyhow, this is why it is so important for you folks to understand what's at stake here. It's parental rights altogether. It's killing children, even after they're born. It's evil to the core, evil to the absolute core. It's the mutilation of your young girls and boys without parents even knowing about it. It's evil continuously. This is what we're up against. This is why it's important. Joe, if we fail on this, you could take it right to the pulpits. You could take it right to the... I've already been talking to a number of pastors and telling them they better be in their pulpit, telling people to go out and vote yes on issue one. Joe, if I was in a church out here and that pastor said something like, we don't really get involved in politics, or we're not going to... And he refuses to tell people, to tell his people, to go out there and be doers of the word, not just hearers deceiving themselves. If he does not have the courage and the integrity to tell people to go out there and stand against tyranny, then I would tell people to leave there, get out of there. Get out of there now, right away. Leave that place. Knock the dust off your feet. If your pastor is not as bold as a lion, that means that God did not raise him up and put him in that pulpit. That means maybe his mama put him there, but God didn't. And I would get out of there as quick as possible. Go find a church. It's for real. You know, again, the righteous are as bold as lions. Just read Hebrews chapter 11, folks. It's very clear. And so you've got to get ready. The church failed God when he was expelled from the public schools. The church failed God in Roe v. Wade. And it started in the pulpit. Don't dishonor God. Don't dishonor God again. Don't fail God again, folks. You need to tell everybody you know, everybody you know, you need to tell them to get out there and vote yes. It's very important because they've got five other states lined up behind us. If we go down, they'll go down right behind us. If we don't, if we stand, they'll stand. We have to do that. We have to beat the purveyors of death, the death culture, right here. And when you run into somebody out there that's got one of their vote yes signs, tell them, say, yeah, I guess I can see here that you're in favor of killing babies, you're in favor of sodomy, you're in favor of everything God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin. Well, you embrace it, right? That's what that sign that you have says vote yes means in your yard. And so let them know. Stand up. Come on. Get real, please. It's so past time to be real. I'm so fed up, Joe, with symbolism over substance. Anyhow, I got one more quick announcement to make. Oh, I got two more, actually. One is this coming Thursday night, July 27th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. There's going to be a Truth and Light Town Hall, and that's going to be held at 401 South Hamden Street in Chardon, Ohio. That's 401 South Hamden Street in Chardon, Ohio. The zip is 44024, in case you're looking at one of those little machines. And by the way, there will be signs there, yard signs. There will be yard signs there for you to take and put out. And we need them, get them out. And that's this Thursday, as quick as possible. So be there, and that's in Chardon, Ohio. In fact, that's my cousin's church, and the Right to Life of Action Coalition of Ohio. We'll be there putting this on, and I'm a part of that. You're going to have three speakers who are going to be talking, giving this town hall. One is Linda J. Theis. I've known her for 50 years, and she is very active pro-lifer. Liz Kent, another one. These are real. These are real ladies. Real ladies, okay? And then my old buddy, Mark Harrington, founder and president of Created Equal. Boy, they are a great organization. They go from campus to campus to campus teaching young people how to stand up and be counted for life. Also, tomorrow night at the Top Notch Diner in Cortland, Jeremiah Sawyer, Ohio School Board Constitutional Coalition, will be speaking. And that's tomorrow, and that's at the Top Notch Diner right there in Cortland. If you want to know an address, Cortland is very small, so it's right by the gas stations there, folks. And that's the Top Notch Diner in Cortland. And again, that's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. So Pastor Hal will be out there opening in prayer. And so those are the announcements. We got those done. Now, Joe, we have, you know, one of the things, too, I didn't mention. We had a lady call in last night, and she wanted to know about what it referred to as the Everlasting Covenant. The Everlasting Covenant. And she was talking about Revelation.
Right, something in Revelation.
But there is no ever, it doesn't spoken of, that's not in Revelation at all. Now, where you do have that is because after the program, I couldn't go into it because our board op kept saying, the lines are full, we got to hurry up, you know, and get as many calls through because people are waiting. But, you know, we mentioned a couple, Genesis chapter 9, verse 16. That's an everlasting covenant, meaning God is never going to destroy the earth again by flood. And then right. In Genesis 17, verse 19, he makes a covenant with Abraham and Sarah. And Hebrews 13:20 is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant of salvation. And then in 1 Chronicles 16:17 and 2 Samuel 25:5, he makes an everlasting covenant with the nations of Israel. Now, here, when the lady said what did they break the covenant? Well, every conditional covenant that man has ever made with God, man's broken.
Right, and man's never been able to keep anything.
Right, so all of the conditional covenants, you notice in Chronicles and Samuel, Israel broke those covenants. In fact, Abraham didn't break the covenant, but he kept asking the Lord to bless Ishmael. And he said, God told him, look, your covenant is not with Ishmael. It's with Isaac.
Isaac, okay? Yeah.
And, but anyhow, I just wanted to straighten up for the lady that was, they called last night because those are the six places where we talks to in Scripture about everlasting covenants. Now, after saying all that, Joe, I got some fast things, fast tracks I wanted to hit.
Because I want to, when I get time, I want to do, you were talking about that song, Blinded by the Lies. I've got something that will go along with that song.
Well, but, why don't you just go ahead and do it then? You're a talented fella.
Well, let's just look. We've got Joe Biden up there, story, headlines, World News Daily. Hunter Biden put Joe Biden on the phone with business associates 24 times in front of witnesses. Biden's been on camera how many times? He's never discussed any business with my son Hunter. You know, we've got Kamala was on there talking about how they're teaching wonderful things about slavery in Florida. It never ends. There's a news story. Hunter Biden's counsel faces possible sanctions after accusations of lying in a criminal tax case. Apparently, one of the attorneys from Hunter Biden's team is accused of misrepresenting who she was when she came in to ask to remove an amicus material from the docket against Hunter. She allegedly called to ask the clerk to seal the information instead of making a formal request like she's supposed to. They wanted to seal and hide information so it wouldn't get before the judge. Well, I got looking at all this, and there's about 24 more stories that involve lying. Now, most of you that have children, grandchildren, remember that dumb song, "This is the song that never ends." Yes, it goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it without knowing why, what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because it is the song that never, you know, goes on, repeats. Well, I thought Biden's song, the Biden administration song, "These are the lies that never end. Yes, they go on and on, my friend. Some people started lying, not wanting what was true, and they'll continue lying forever just because these are the lies that never end." If you can remember that piece of childhood music with the kids singing, especially on a car trip, so you wanted to throw them all out of the car, I thought it was just perfect. That's the official Biden administration song, "These are the lies that never end."
Well, yeah, it's an amazing thing, because now he's trying to adjust his lies.
Now they're trying to, what do they call it, pull them back, or there's a word they use. He's trying to clarify, pull them back. But, oh, you didn't hear the big news. The big news is Joe Biden came out today and said that we have effectively ended cancer as we know it. Wow, what a breaking news story. I thought we ought to be one of the first, you know, shows in radio to tell people that, I went to look to be able to verify that it was true, and there's no verification anywhere. Apparently, he just came out and decided to tell everybody that, here it is. One of the things I'm always asked is why Americans have sort of lost faith for a while in being able to do big things. If you could do anything at all, Joe, what would you do? I said I'd cure cancer. They looked at me like, my cancer? Because no one thinks we can, and that's why. And we can. We ended cancer as we know it. I thought, isn't that sad? We have I don't know. Does he believe his own lies, or is he just so demented?
Oh, no, Joe.
What he's saying.
I heard him say that he was an honest man, and I heard him say, I'm not kidding you, I did. He was talking to a reporter.
Too. He was honest, yeah.
And that he doesn't lie. You know, I don't lie. I'm not. And so there you go.
He has made up so many stories. There must be, 24 stories on the Internet that he's told that they could never verify, that were outright about his college degrees, about churches he went to train. I mean, there are so many. We could do an entire show on them.
Well, the ones he was talking about, when he was in Israel, he had Jewish ancestry. When he was in Poland, he had Polish ancestry.
In Ireland, he had Irish background. It goes on and on.
Well, what he does with this thing with Hunter, it's called trickle truthing, little by, he changes it to get a little closer to the actual truth, because you know, people are, you know, the cat's out of the bag, you know. when he was saying before, he had absolutely never discussed business with Hunter's business with Hunter. Now that's changed. Now he's discussed business with Hunter, but he's never been a partner with Hunter. Okay, we'll
right.
see when.
That's called walking it back.
Yeah,
walking it back.
But I mean, this guy is so blatant. And if you talk about, and how in the world people could hate Trump and like Biden, I got no idea. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Okay, and here. You know, you don't hear the people that they get their news. They have been absolutely dumbed down. They're clueless. If they get their news from NBC, ABC, CBS, they're not covering any of this.
No, they have no idea what was going on. They don't know the truth of January 6th. They have no idea what all these different House committees are finding, you know, as they investigate the Biden crime family. The evidence is mounted so bad that now they're talking about, you know, an impeachment inquiry so they can subpoena records and bring people forward to testify. To me, you know, if there were one-tenth of this much facts on any Republican anywhere, the impeachment would already have been, well, of course, they impeached him, Trump, for nothing.
Yeah, but you know what? Congress is going to, the Republicans are going to expunge that Trump's impeachments. And the Democrats are furious about them even talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if they do that, and they should do that, and I'm hoping they will do that, that would be...
They're starting to have a backbone here. They're starting to really fight. I am really proud of most of those guys. But
well, it's people like Jim Jones and Matt Gaetz and others that have shown them that you can fight, you can win. And that's what Trump is the one that taught them that they could win.
Yeah. Yeah, he was set the example. Jordan has turned out to be a pit bull. I mean, he is going and he doesn't stop. He doesn't let up. He will not be coward. Everybody ought to be pretty proud of him. He's from Ohio, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's something to be proud of. But one thing that amazed me, I've got two stories in front of me. We see what's happening in this country, but we forget what's going on in other countries. One of the stories is about a Christian pastor that's fleeing North America. Well, actually, he's fleeing his home in Canada. He's been exiled. Actually, he would have been put in jail and had all his property and wealth seized. He is exiled to keep his family safe and to keep his, you know, be able to preach. And it's been a report by Joy Pullman at the Federalist, Pastor Harold Ritzout. And moved his family because the government invoked emergency war measures to punish citizens who attended a protest where he prayed and sang the national anthem. Oh, what a crime. He prayed at a, you know, protest, sang the Canadian national anthem, and they want to put him in jail and take all these things away. He's suing the government, but he's having to do it from a foreign country. He moved his family to Kenya in Africa. His wife, Elsie, said, things are normal here. People have traditional values. It's inconceivable to think of transgender mutilation and different things that are going on with the sex that was not happening in Kenya. So they're going there. They've got laws in Canada where doctors, lawyers, teachers required to endorse abortion. They're required to endorse the LGBT sex acts. And they must help patients obtain abortions or Canadian or doctor-assisted suicide. And he just, this whole article is about how bad it is in Canada, how you can't preach. You can't preach the gospel. You're not allowed. Pastors and teachers cannot speak about the morality of human sexuality. Can't quote scripture. So they've had to flee. They're talking about it's poor in Kenya. There's some corruption. but nobody's getting arrested for praying silently outside of an abortion clinic. For a Christian in Canada, it's very, very bleak.
Anyway, yeah, it is.
The story goes, there's a lot more to it. But now, let's jump to another country, Israel. Israel is in chaos. Israel is coming apart at the seams. There are a dozen stories, but the one that hit me most is a story about a businessman there, Amon Goldis. He's a microbiologist, but he owns a small wine shop that was called Kosher Wine, or Ganuz, and he is in big trouble with the government. He posted a scripture, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And he did it because of all the LGBT pride flags appearing along Jerusalem Boulevard, where his store sits. All up and down, the article is saying, all up and down that boulevard are the pride flags everywhere, everywhere you go. He said, nope. Not in my shop. They warned him he had to take his sign down, that they would fine him. And he said, I don't care. It's not coming down. Fine me. I'm not paying. He even changed the name of his store to Shemuel Yisrael, Yai Israel, because of a verse from Deuteronomy. And every year he puts up more Bible verses in his store. He gets in more and more trouble, deeper in debt. They said the Ramat Gan municipality covers the city in hundreds LGBTQ flags, and yet they do not allow any store to express an opposition. No opposition allowed. Can't preach anything the Bible says against the LGBTQ group. And they're silencing opinions by municipal bylaw, you know, using different laws and stuff. He said they're silencing the Jewish voice in the public square. There's a double standard all across Israel. And it just goes on and on and on. He said there's a real war, real silencing. They're taking over the left, the crazies are taking over Israel, to make a long story short. Sounds exactly like what's happening in the United States of America.
This is why you're going to see what's happening. We are so close. I think so close, because you're going to see that in the end, all nations of the world are going to turn against Israel. But you're absolutely right. It's doing exactly, and Israel is a stiff-necked people. That's why the purpose of the tribulation period is the purifying of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
The way of God.
I can see why it needs purifying. If the holiest city in Israel has hundreds and hundreds of rainbow, LGBTQI, whatever, all the other alphabet soup, flags all up and down the main street of Jerusalem, God is not happy.
No.
They're
God
rubbing
is.
It in God's face. I mean, they're rubbing their sin in the face.
We're up against a brick, so we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come right now.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.